Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. I hope you have had an amazing week. Whatever you've been up to, it's been absolutely jam-packed for me. The clinic seems to have just taken off with bookings and every day is packed. Plus, on the Saturday, I had to take my daughter and some friends to Thorpe Park, which for those of you not in the UK, it is an amusement park with the roller coasters and all those usual things. Not that I go on them because I get green for about 2 days afterwards if I go on anything. Even the simplest of funfair roundabouts is just not for me. But my daughter's birthday was last week and we took her along and she had an amazing time with some of her friends. We had a not so amazing time standing around, sitting around, waiting for them. The only blessing was that at least the weather was beautiful. And it's that time of year, isn't it, where you really don't know what to expect when you wake up in the morning. That morning, actually, when we went to Thorpe Park, it was so foggy out there. But as we arrived at the park and parked, it was clearing, and before long, it was beautiful sunshine. And I really want to just think a little bit about that in your diabetes life, because sometimes you can see very clearly how things are going, and yet sometimes it is all a bit of a fog. And I want to really ask you to consider, how well do you know your situation? How well do you know your position with your diabetes? Are you comfortable with it? Are you confident that you are doing the best you can with it? Is it clear to you what you could improve? Or is it all a bit of a fog? And you've heard me before talking on this show about the importance of being in the diabetes sweet spot. And that can give you a lot of clarity. So the diabetes sweet spot, for those of you that are new to the show, and for those of you that maybe have not grasped the concept yet or not taken it on board yet, I encourage you to do so. The diabetes sweet spot is where you've got the knowledge of the condition of diabetes. You know what diabetes is all about. You've done a little bit of research into it. Maybe you've listened in on here and you've heard things about it. Maybe you've read some other articles somewhere. Maybe you've actually taken on board what your doctor has said to you. You know what can go wrong with diabetes. You know that it can affect the eyes, the kidneys, that it can affect your heart, that it can affect your feet. And therefore, you know it's something to be taken seriously. And that's a good step towards being in this sweet spot of, you know, at least you're alerted to things that can go wrong. The second part of being in the diabetes sweet spot is knowing your own personal risk. Because you and the person next to you who might have diabetes, your risk level could be totally different. One of you might be at risk of having a heart attack and you don't know it, and the other one might be at risk of having an amputation and you don't know it. And it's really important to be aware of your own risk. And that's why it's so important to go along to your annual checkups. It's so important to go along to the doctor, the nurse for checkups, checking the HbA1c. It's so important to go along to your podiatrist for your checkups, for your eye checkups, for your retinopathy, to make sure you know what risk you are at of the complications that are so unfortunately devastating with diabetes. And then the final part of it, the bit that often gets neglected the most, is the taking the action. And maybe it's not right to say neglected the most. Maybe I should be saying the bit that's the hardest to do is to put it into action. Because even if you've got the best of intentions and you're not trying to neglect yourself at all, putting into practice some of the things that will benefit you, such as changing maybe your eating habits, your exercise habits, or looking after your feet better. Some of those things are actually quite difficult to do. You're changing the habits of a lifetime. And although you know that you should be doing the action, it can be hard. And that's why to be in the diabetes sweet spot, we actually encourage people to have their sweet spot buddy, somebody in their family, in their friendship group, or possibly even a stranger that you've got to know through maybe a diabetes event. Maybe you've gone along to one of the Undefeated workshops or some other weight loss plan, and you link up with somebody who is going to be your encouragement and your challenger as well, to keep you on that narrow road, on the straight and narrow, to make sure that you're controlling your diabetes as best as you can. So that is what we are all about here on UK Health Radio's Diabetes Show, brought to you by Undefeated, which is my non-for-profit organization. My passion is to try and help people to prevent amputations. And that's why I do this show. It's why I do the Foot Health Show. And obviously, in order to do that, we need to try and help people to control their diabetes better. Now, before we go too much further into the show, for those of you that are regulars here, and also for those of you that are new, but particularly the regulars, because this might be sound a bit strange to you, UK Health Radio has sponsors. They have sponsors who sponsor the whole station. And you know, we hope to have some show sponsors as well. But at the moment, the station sponsors, up until this week, the adverts have been played outside of the shows. And it's not really fair on the people who are paying good money to UK Health Radio to keep it going so we can provide this service for you. And by the way, I should point out that presenters don't get any money from the station sponsors, but the station does. The way we're going to be doing these adverts going forward is that we're going to have a couple of little slots within the show. So you will hear me saying at some point words to the effect of, before we continue on, here's some valuable information from our station sponsors, and we'll be right back afterwards. You'll hear me saying that sort of thing, and then there'll be a little bit of a jingle, the advert, another jingle, and then you'll be back to hearing my voice again, or the voice of our interviewee. And that will be happening twice in the show, so it's not going to be too odious. It's only going to be once about a third of the way through, and then once about two-thirds of the way through. And the reason is, of course, that these people are paying this money for sponsorship, advertising, and yet they weren't really getting the exposure because the adverts were outside of a show. Now, if you were tuning in live, yes, you would hear the adverts, but if you were listening to the shows, then you wouldn't be. I suppose the thing I need to drive home is that they're not our show sponsors. They're not necessarily endorsed by myself. These are the station sponsors who are going to be doing this. So as there's no time like the present, why don't we take the first break now and let our station sponsors share some valuable information with you. And after that, I'll be back with sharing some of the news in the world of diabetes in the past couple of weeks.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Good, So hello again and welcome back to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And as I shared earlier, we're going to have a quick look at what's been in the news recently. And again, I'm going to go to my usual source, which is diabetes.co.uk/news, if you want to go there yourself. And you will find more information on these topics that I'm going to share about. I'm going to run through them fairly quickly. Some I might spend a bit more time on, but you're welcome to go and check them out in more detail yourselves. First of all, the first one, and I'm looking really from the beginning of October through till now. First one is Kate Moss, the model, of course. Her daughter is also a model. She's an aspiring model, should I say. She is a teenager, 18 years old, Lila Moss, and she's been nationally commended for making her insulin pump visible when walking on the catwalk. This has been something which is, you know, many people with type 1 actually do feel that it is a taboo thing, having to get injections out or having the pump there. They do feel that it is, that it's not nice to have to show it, to have it there. So hands off to her for actually standing up and saying, look, I've got type 1 diabetes, so what? This is part of my life, I need it, and it's on show. So that might be one you want to look into more information on. If you have got type 1 and you haven't thought about a pump yet, I recommend it. I mean, my daughter, as you know, has got type 1, and she does have a pump. She doesn't always use the pump, but when she does, I think she has a much better control, much better nighttime control, particularly because you can alter the whole rate at which the basal bolus is going into your body. So therefore, you can have different rates of insulin going in at different times, and it's all quick-acting insulin. So you might have a different rate between the hours of, let's say, 11 and 1, and then between 1 and 3, a different rate, and then between 4 and 5, and then 6 and 9, different rates of basal background insulin being put into your body. So you know, it stands to reason that it is going to be controlling much better than just having one nighttime injection, which then gradually seeps the effect of the insulin into your body. So check it out. If you haven't got an insulin pump yet, check out one of the great companies that do have those on offer. Guidance on sunlight exposure needs to be re-evaluated, researchers say. Previous guidelines on the optimal exposure to sunlight for vitamin D benefits may need to be revised following a new study which looked at the benefits of solar exposure against the risk of sunburn and skin cancer. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail on this one because we have got a guest on later on talking about vitamin D. That's one of our conversations for this week. But please do check that story out if you want more information on it. Next one is that strength training can burn the same amount of fat as cardio. There's been some new research which shows this. Often people feel, and there's a common perception, that to build muscles you strength train, but to lose fat you should opt for cardio. Whereas apparently this analysis done by the University of New South Wales, which is analysing previous research papers. So it's not necessarily new research, but it's analysing new previous research papers. It's revealed that people can lose around 1.4% of their body fat just by strength training alone. And this is a similar amount to what can be lost through cardio. I'm guessing the answer is probably, if you can, do a bit of both. Or my personal trainer would probably tell me, if you can, do a lot of both. Next one's an interesting one for people who go to work and have a canteen at work. This was a study that was done to change canteen menus to see if it could help with obesity rates amongst the employees. And from what I can gather, over 6 months, 19 workplace canteens sold smaller meals and low-calorie refreshments to see whether the average employee calorie consumption decreased. The findings identified that the subtle changes, such as replacing bacon and cheeseburgers with grilled chicken burgers, and smaller portions of things such as lasagna or spaghetti and meatballs, that those subtle changes reduced the overall number of calories consumed in the workplace by 11.5% per day, which meant basically that each employee reduced their daily calorie intake by 50. Now, obviously, this could and probably should be adopted as well in school canteens. My daughter actually was sharing the other day how she wants to take food to school rather than eating what's at school, because it's all high calorie, high fat food, and she would much rather have something more healthy. I actually believe it when I see it, but that is hopefully going to be the case. There's a few more articles I'm going to whiz through fairly quickly. Protective coronavirus antibodies can last up to 6 months, research suggests. This is after you've actually had the infection. They're not talking about the actual vaccination ones, but the ones when you've had the infection itself. Gut bacteria may be linked to brain damage in premature babies, research suggests. A deeper understanding of link between inflammation and pancreatic cancer revealed in a new study. All of these are items that you can find on diabetes.co.uk's website. A doctor requests examination into period changes as a result of COVID-19 vaccinations. And long COVID numbers are much lower than first predicted, apparently. Final two, migraines increase the risk of sleeping difficulties. And a drug used to treat type 2 diabetes could reduce risk of severe COVID-19 outcomes. So all of those items were found on diabetes.co.uk's website. Please do go there if you want to hear any more or read any more, should I say, about those articles. We're going to have a song now, and then after that, we're going to go straight into our interview, which is going to be about vitamin D. And I think you'll find it most fascinating, the information we're going to hear. But before that, let's raise the tempo and let's have a little bit of Katrina and the Waves and Walking on Sunshine. Hope you enjoy it.
I just can't wait till the day when you know.
That was Katrina and the Waves and Walking on Sunshine. I hope you enjoyed it. Quite a jolly tune there, brighten up these autumn days that we're beginning to see now. I don't know about you, but it's certainly over here in the UK, it's not bitter cold, but it's beginning to get a little bit of a nip to it when you go out in the evening. I have to plug my car in, which I've been extremely grateful of, by the way, these recent weeks over here in the UK, where the petrol shortage or the fuel shortage in the petrol stations has been, because I've got a hybrid, so I'm able to plug it in. But I've noticed when I go out and unplug it at about midnight, it's certainly a little bit nippier than it has been. Anyway, that was Walking on Sunshine. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, and we're going to go into our interview now, and this is with Dr. Roger Henderson, and we're going to be talking about vitamin D, and also there is a gentleman called Alex from Holland and Barrett as well. So please, Roger, tell us what you're going to be talking about today.
We are talking today about the importance of vitamin D this autumn and winter as we are going into the cold and flu season. And the reason we're doing that is we know that vitamin D is absolutely vital for our immune system and our general health. But we also know that up to half of the UK population going into winter will be vitamin D insufficient, and almost one in five severely deficient. And the problem with that is that for many people, they don't realise. Now, why is that important? Well, vitamin D is absolutely crucial in our bone, muscle, teeth strength. It boosts our body's immune system. It regulates our blood sugar, heart, blood vessels, our lungs, our airways. It does an awful lot. The problem with vitamin D is that you can't get enough from your diet. 80% of the vitamin D that's in our body is manufactured by the impact of sunlight on our skin. Now, spoiler alert, you know, we live in the United Kingdom. Autumn and winter, there ain't a lot of that about. And so that's the reason why our vitamin D levels tend to fall off a cliff at this sort of time. So we're talking today really about what we can do to try and boost our immune system and our vitamin D levels naturally, especially because of the impact of fighting off coughs and colds and everything that's lying ahead of us in the coming flu and cold season. And vitamin D supplementation is tremendously simple.
Okay. Maybe we should talk a little bit about that sort of thing there, about some supplementation. But just before we do that, if I may, if somebody gets an ordinary cold or even flu for that matter, which can be pretty horrible, does that leave you a little bit more prone to catching COVID if you come across somebody like that? I mean,
That's a good question. If you are otherwise normally fit and well and you've got you catch flu or you get a heavy cold, most of the time that would not impact on your ability to catch COVID. If you are someone who has existing conditions, such as, for example, diabetes, heart problems, or you're frail and infirm and elderly, and you are hammered by flu or a cold, then your immune system will take a dip. And yes, that can open a slight window for COVID to come in. There was an awful lot of chatter earlier in the pandemic about vitamin D and COVID. You know, could there be a link? If you boost vitamin D, could it help fight COVID off? We now know that is not the case. Vitamin D does not impact on whether you catch COVID or not, and it does not affect your recovery or otherwise from COVID. So we can safely put that one to bed. What vitamin D does do is it strengthens, if you like, your firewall, your body's defences against what's to come. And we had a quiet flu season last year, and let's not forget, flu will kill 8 to 10,000 people on average year. Yeah. And we had a quiet flu year last year. We were expecting a slightly busier one this year, and that, with the double whammy of what's happened with COVID, is probably going to make it a little bit lively this season.
Right, okay. And you touched on it earlier on, saying about, you know, the summertime, we don't really need, well, you didn't actually say we don't need the supplements necessarily, but in the UK, summers particularly. But the sunshine, obviously, it does help us to produce it. Is it fair to say that it could be just a winter supplement that you take, or autumn winter supplement?
I think my view with patients when I'm talking about vitamin D is, as I say, if you want to take it all year round, absolutely fine, just like we're taking multivitamin all year round. Certainly, the autumn and the winter is really when we should be hammering it, because that's the time when we start to dip. And you don't need enormous amounts. This is the important thing. Some people think that the more you take, the better it is. Actually, that itself can come with particular problems. You don't want to be taking too much. So a simple 10 microgram dose, I mean, that really is a minuscule amount, 10 microgram dose, recommended amount across the board, just once a day, make it part of your daily routine, and you'll get the benefit. You don't have to be going mad about this.
Okay. I remember interviewing somebody at the beginning of this year, I think it was, and I think even then there was still a little bit of talk about it helping with COVID, which you've dismissed as not being the case. And I know I was taking one of the sprays, but it was a very high, I can't remember exactly what it was, a high dose, and I don't take it as often as I did, probably because I was told you're taking too much.
It's not going to do any dramatic harm, but you know, we sort of the advice is there for a reason, because we know that's all you need. Actually, I might just ask Alex to mention that the preparations, because some people do think it's just a tablet and they're not keen about tablets, but cool. We've really branched out as to the forms that people can take. So maybe Alex can just advise on that.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Peter. I'm a senior nutritionist at the leading high street retailer. There's many different forms of vitamin D. So obviously, if people are already taking lots of pills and supplements, they don't want to add at least the best stack. There are sprays, there are gummies, liquid drops, and just a quick one on the strength. So yeah, 10 micrograms is the recommended amount, but in terms of the safety profile, because the absolute amount in the supplement is very low, obviously the safety profile of vitamin D is very high. So you know, in a typical summer, if we had, you know, a degree of our body exposed to vitamin D, our body can be making upwards of 200 micrograms of vitamin D in the skin. So the safe limit in supplements is 100 micrograms. So I wouldn't be too concerned about taking too much unless you've got an underlying medical condition where you've got too much calcium in your blood or something like that. So sprays can actually be more effective than pills in terms of absorption rate, just because you're putting them underneath your tongue and they can actually be absorbed through the membranes of your mouth. Obviously, vitamin D is fat soluble. So if you're taking vitamin D supplements outside of a meal that contains fat, the absorption rate can be decreased because vitamin D is transported in our body in fat-carrying proteins. And if you're not having a meal with fat, then you won't have those proteins in such a high concentration. The sprays can be a great option.
Great. Okay, thanks. You mentioned there very, very discreetly a high street retailer. If I hazard a guess, I assume that you have to do with this survey that's been done recently, this research that's been done recently, is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
I'll mention him, and I don't mind mentioning the organisation, give you the guys the credit. So that's Holland and Barrett. You've done this thing, and there's a bit of interesting information there on what the views of people are regarding their colleagues coming to work and things like that, and the general perception of the public at the moment regarding being around people who are sneezing and coughing. Do you want to mention anything about what they found in that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we found that 69% of workers now say they would actually they would mind if a colleague came to the workplace, coughing and spluttering in the workplace. And that number was only 40% prior to COVID. So I've seen a really, really dramatic rise in kind of people being a bit more kind of health conscious, perceptive around what people around them are coming in. I think we have a culture in the UK before COVID of soldier on. Come into work, unless you're literally bed bound, come in, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we're seeing that kind of attitude in people changing a lot now. And now 47% of people are more likely to avoid going to the office with a cough or cold. And that's again risen 23% pre pandemic. Mm-hmm. I think a really important thing, again, that we found in our survey was 48% of people still do not take vitamin D supplements at all. So, mm-hmm. Obviously in the winter months, as Roger said, the UVB radiation is a lot lower in the autumn winter. Our body cannot synthesize enough from the skin. Obviously, there's a lot of factors that actually influence our body's ability to make it anyway.
Thank you for sharing that. I just wonder, some people, and please excuse me for saying this, Alex, and maybe Roger would be the better person to answer this, I don't know. Some people don't like taking loads and loads of pills and loads of supplements. Natural ways of getting this vitamin D. What are some of the old, how many mushrooms and things like that do we need to eat, either Roger or Alex?
You just can't. I mean, you have to be a penguin to have the amount of oily fish that would you should be taking. I mean, it doesn't mean you obviously should have a healthy diet, rich in fresh fruit and vegetables, oily fish in there, avoiding highly processed and junk food. Obviously, that goes without saying. But it is an unfortunate simple fact that in this part of the world, sort of above 40 degrees north, we are not going to be able to get the amount of sunshine that we would normally need to keep us fully topped up. So a simple supplementation. But I think the difference is, you're quite right to say that people don't like taking lots of tablets. People do seem to have a slightly psychological different outlook from taking prescribed medication, perhaps that I might prescribe for them, to what they would see as a natural supplement or a vitamin or a multivitamin, because those are natural and safe. So they're often much more ready to take something as part of their daily routine, rather than, if you like, a pharmaceutically manufactured drug, which obviously many of us have to take for our health. So I think we're pushing an open door there. I think in terms of supplementation with things like vitamin D, most people have an open mind to that.
Right. So we just need to try and get that 48%, was it 47%, who aren't taking it to start?
Absolutely. And people are often surprised at how better they generally feel when their vitamin D levels are at normal levels.
And they won't have all their colleagues sort of telling them to shove off and not come into work. Hopefully the workforce will be boosted as well. Okay, well, thank you so much, Roger and Alex, for what you've shared there. It's been really interesting, and I'll get back to spraying myself from time to time with it as well. And
good work.
Enjoy the autumn. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Roger and Alex, there for that valuable information on the benefits of vitamin D supplementation, particularly if you're living in a place like the UK where the nights are getting longer and the daytimes are getting shorter and the sunshine is not as effective at producing the vitamin D in our skin as it is during the summer months. So thank you so much for that. You've been listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. We will be continuing after this short break now, where our station sponsors are going to share some information with you. We'll be right back right after their message. So don't go away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from the UK Health Radio station sponsors. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And if you just joined us recently, then you will have missed a very interesting interview all about vitamin D. And of course, it is that time of year where things are a little a bit darker, a little bit duller, a little bit less sunshine, and the sunshine quality isn't quite so good. And it's that time of year when we don't make as much vitamin D. Our bodies can make vitamin D, but we can't make it when we haven't got exposure to good sunshine. So that's one reason for getting up and going traveling abroad, or maybe not at the moment with the way things are still. Things are easing up a little bit, aren't they? We're hoping to go away at Christmas time, not necessarily seeking sun, but we're going to see some family, which I'm looking forward to. So hopefully things are going to ease up even more and be less restrictions. Anyway, I think we all probably already, even though autumn has only just begun, I think we already probably would be saying that we're waiting for another sunny day. We'd love a sunny day. And we're going to listen to a song now by Bruce Springsteen, which is called Waiting on a Sunny Day. I hope you enjoy this. That was, of course, the Boss, Bruce Springsteen, and Waiting on a Sunny Day. And that's another jolly tune. I think we've picked some good tunes for you today. Good feel-good songs. Anyway, what are you going to be doing for the rest of this week? Well, if you are a person with diabetes, which I'm guessing you probably are, and if you're not, you're probably listening as somebody with either pre-diabetes or with a loved one who has got some form of diabetes. Maybe, I suppose, you are listening as a professional, a health professional who's heard that we're doing this show and want to listen in and see what it's all about. Well, whatever the reason, I want to ask you to engage with us this month, because October, spelled O-C-T-O-E-B-E-R, October, is International Keep Your Feet Month. This was instigated by Undefeated last year, and 2020 was the first one. 2021 is the second one, the second International Keep Your Feet Month. And during that month, what we do is we try to have a campaign on social media, through the radio here as well, just trying to help people become more aware of the importance of their feet, particularly if they have got diabetes. So the reason we chose October, you might have heard me saying this before, October is because there's a nice corny name ring there, but also because, of course, it is the 10th month and we want you to have 10 toes on your body at the end of your life. We don't want you losing anything prematurely. In actual fact, we designated the 2nd of October, which happens to be my birthday, the 2nd of October, we won't go into how old I am, 2nd of October is International Keep Your Feet Day. And the reason we chose that is not because it's my birthday. Let me promise you, it's not because it's my birthday, because I'm making a rod for my own back, really, because every birthday going forwards now, I'm going to be involved in something which is going to take a lot of work. But anyway, the reason we chose it is because in the UK here, we would talk about the 2nd of October being 2/10. In America, it might be 10/2. Either way, again, you want to end your life with two legs and 10 toes intact. And the problem is with diabetes, of course, as I'm sure that you are aware, if you've listened to this show even once, you will have heard me talking about it. The problem with it is that people do get complications, can get complications, should I say, which can lead to foot ulcers, wounds on their feet, which can very often lead to having to have an amputation. And that's what pretty much I live for in my profession, is to try and help prevent that from happening. I'm a podiatrist. I work generally with people from all walks of life, and some have diabetes, some don't have diabetes. But my view is that learning about your feet early on in life is important. So please, if you're listening and you've got diabetes and you haven't learned about your feet yet, do learn. If you've got loved ones who maybe haven't even got diabetes, maybe you've got some children or some grandchildren who are not old enough really to make their own decisions yet, but you make it your mission to try and help them. Okay, Christians, as they grow up, will have godparents, and they're supposed to help the Christian, to help the child to grow up in a Christian way of life. And I'd like that in some sort of way for you to sort of adopt some sort of means of helping your children, the loved ones in your life, to grow up learning about their feet, learning about the importance of their feet, and particularly if any of them have got diabetes, of course. We're going to close out with a song now. But before I do that, I would just like to invite any of you, if you've got any questions at all, anything you want me to talk about on this show, any topics, any people you want me to get on the show, please do email me. You can email me at contact@undefeated.org. contact@undefeated.org. That's undefeated spelled with all E's. If you've never been to our website before, go to undefeated.org. Please go to our Facebook group, which again is undefeated.org. You'll find our page there and you'll find the videos, the live videos and the recorded videos that we're going to be putting out this month. We're also going to be putting out some in different languages as well. So if you speak Italian, if you speak Spanish, various different dialects, we've got people from Peru, from Panama, we've got people from India, from Nepal, from Italy, all and many others as well, who I haven't received the videos from yet, are going to be doing video talks in their own languages. So if you speak a different language, go to the Facebook page anyway, because you're going to find something of interest to you there. We're going to finish up with a final song now. And that song, it's a really good worship song. I love it. I love the tune that it's done to. It's done been done in many different ways. But this particular tune is a sort of a reggae tune, really. And the song is called Bless the Lord, Oh My Soul. And that's quite appropriate, really. We've been talking about souls in a way of the feet. But of course, this is soul as in S-O-U-L. Bless the Lord, Oh My Soul. And the artist's name is Joshua Kessler. Hope you enjoy it. And we will see you or speak to you again. And hopefully you'll hear us next week here on The Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio. Thank you for listening. Sing like never before. Oh my.
And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Live in the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.